Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Here, special thanks to Ben and Deanna Malcar, Bay Area Realty. Man, they're fun people, aren't they?
Great.
They're just
and
fun
they
to have in the studio.
They're local. They know what they're doing. Yeah, they're fun to have.
Well, this segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. We talk about them a bunch, and there's a reason we talk about them a bunch, because they are pretty cool.
Yeah, they are. They're awesome. You know, we were talking, I was thinking when Deanna and Ben were talking about there's a house, it's not their house, but it's been sitting for a while. It's kind of on a little bit of a noisier street. And I'm wondering if they wouldn't put some Pella windows in there, if that would help.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because noise is, you know, some of the main streets are noisy.
They just are. Downtown Green Bay is extremely noisy.
Kind of like everywhere, though, Green Bay. I mean, trucks are loud. I mean, it's not always motorcycles. You know, Green Bay is a very noisy city, just in general. If somebody said, well, tell me about your, it is a noisy city. And, you know, I mean, Pella, besides, we talk about saving on the heat bill and keeping the air conditioning in, but I can tell you from a noise standpoint, that's really, really important. And, man, if it's noisy in your house because of outside stuff, that's not fun.
No. You know where you don't want noise? In an opera house. In an opera theater. Jason
segue, Mino.
Mansmith. How are you, my friend?
We love all the noise in the opera house. The more the merrier.
Right,
you know,
right.
We're the uncanny version of an opera house. Like, we don't have any, well, we do have opera, but we like to rock it up too. It's okay.
You guys got it going on in Green Lake. I love that community.
Yeah.
I told you that last time. That's something that we've always enjoyed. And you run the opera house.
I don't run the opera house. I just promote the opera house. So that's the cool thing about it. So we've got a great team here, a giant staff of four. Right, and a bunch of volunteers that help us out with it. But yeah, we do a lot of fun things here at the opera.
For the record, Jason, that's 25% larger than our staff. So.
Okay, well, good.
Are we even including
you guys
Con?
Doing great things?
Are we including Con as a full?
We are.
Full or half?
I guess today
right.
We are.
All
yeah.
Right. Poor Con.
So, what do you got going on?
Oh, let's see. You know, we're kind of getting back into our busy season. We take it a little bit quieter during the summer months, but we kick back up in August. We had Samantha Fish in. She's a great blues player. She just happened to open up for this group called the Rolling Stones like 3 weeks before she played our 200-seat opera house in Green Lake.
Wow.
And she was out with Slash this summer on the blues tour. So it was a pretty rocking show in here. And now we're back into it. We got a lot of great shows. We got a show coming up this weekend. Great comedian Mary Mack. She's been here before. She's throughout Wisconsin. You know her. She's been in Fallon's show a few times, and she's just hilariously funny. Got that Wisconsin vibe, and you know, just very up north kind of material that goes with it. We can all relate to here around the area. So we've got her coming in this weekend, and then we're pretty much hitting it hard through the end of the year. We got some blues in there. Melissa Carper, we got a 506 session, which is just a little bit more pinned down. So instead of 200 people, we only do 80 people on these. And they've referred to her as the Hillbilly Holiday, which is like this great blues country singer, right? So take, Billie Holiday, but then put some country along with it. And it's really great. So we're looking forward to her coming in. And then Cimarron 615 at the beginning of October. These cats were from, you might have heard of Poco before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So these guys are from Poco and the Flying Burrito Brothers and a few other bands. And then the
Poco's
day after that, Bobby Watson.
Poco,
what's that?
Rosa Cimarron? Poco's coming in?
Yeah, well, Cimarron 615, which is a couple of guys from Poco and a couple of guys from the Flying Burrito Brothers. And, some guy
song?
Who plays with Hank Williams Jr. So, he's all part of that.
What was Poco's big song? They had like a number one hit.
Well, they were around for
a while. It's on the top of my head there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Con, look that up.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Con.
No, I think
Rosa Cimarron is great hit from them too, so that helps.
Is,
yeah,
Cimarron.
Do
but
you
anyway.
Okay? So, how far out do you book stuff like that to with these days?
Oh, let's see. We already have shows in place for May of 2025.
Oh my gosh.
So we're constantly booking. So we head to a booking conference next month in Nashville, where we'll make a lot of connections as well. And get some great acts in for the following 2025 and already 2026.
That's so incredible.
That Mary Mack does that whole bit on growing up in Wisconsin. That's pretty funny.
She's hilarious. We had her in early 2023, slayed it, welcoming her back. You know, we got a big social event in Green Lake this weekend. The Wisconsin State Chili Cook-Off is on Saturday in Green Lake, right? So tons of people in here, and we always like to have like a comedy show after that event. So if people want to come on over, we got room for you.
I don't like being a judge of a thing. Do you?
Judging the chili is hard.
For a couple reasons.
One is that some of that stuff you can burn your mouth, and then the taste buds, they give you grapes and milk. But the other thing is that it's hard to taste a lot of chili because you get full and that doesn't taste as good. And it's not really fair. I mean, the first chili is like, oh, this is a winner. You know, and then the second one, oh, no, this is good. But then if you get to like ninth or tenth, it's like I'm sure they have a fan favorite. And then do you have judges too that go around and taste these?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had the luxury of judging it for a couple of years. Yeah. Now Rachel, our director, does it. Much like you, after your face starts burning after the first three or four, you're like, okay, where are we going from here? So, but
if I was doing it, because I've done for a couple of things where the people are right there.
Oh yeah,
and feel, you know what I mean? I'd rather like nobody else there. Be anonymous and then make the decision versus, oh, that lady seems so nice.
Right.
She's got that look in her eye does he like it? You know what I mean? It's like you feel so guilty if she doesn't win.
And if it's got noodles, then I just walk right by. So, that's not my kind of chili.
They don't allow that here. So.
Oh,
but
they don't.
The first time I did it, there's like 44 entries, and, they break it down. But 40? They didn't tell you you're going to have like 40 spoonfuls of chili.
Right. Even if it's a tablespoon, because they had these in glasses or urine cups.
Yeah.
I wasn't 40, but it was 20 for sure, 22, 23. And I was like, I don't know how you can judge that, but that's the only way, right? You got to taste them.
So. The most pressure I've ever had judging anything, went to a motorcycle club party one time, and I had to judge at midnight with their women. I had to be a judge for their...
What'd you judge?
I had to judge their... I don't want to say the whole thing, but and they made me be the judge.
Like a beauty contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were the judge.
Yes.
At midnight.
Yes. With about 50
I would have been more
bikers,
worried about
hardcore
who her,
bikers.
I was gonna say I would be more worried about who her hardcore
exactly.
biker was.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's what I mean about the pressure.
You didn't pick my lady.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's exactly that, correct. That was the most pressure I've ever had judging anything. Yes.
Also guys, I want to let you know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but the holidays just around the corner. We got some great holiday shows coming in December as always. It's a really fun thing for families to get together on maybe some weekend in December and come see a great holiday show that features wonderful music, and it's really fun. And those tickets usually go really, really quick, and they are going quick. So get on in. We got shows starting already the first week of December and wrapping up before Christmas.
Hey, back to the comedian you're talking about. Is she clean? Yeah. Is she adult or is she?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We pride ourselves in bringing in some really good comedians that, are generally clean the entire time, right?
Okay.
So, there's a few things that are just funny that, it's just going to happen, but, you don't have to worry about a whole lot with it. And,
right.
and most it's of our comics that we bring
Fox.
In, we've met them really well, and they know what they're getting into here too, right? So they have a clean version and then maybe an unclean version sometimes too.
No, but I think it's important that you say, to make a night of it. I mean, you have some good restaurants down there. And you talk about you're tying this thing into that chili fest, which is a great idea. But even in the winter, you've got, I like Green Lake. I think it's a cool little community.
Green Lake likes you too, Jim. We appreciate that.
Is there still good lake trout? Is there good lake trout fishing on Green Lake? Because it's so deep and cold.
Yeah, there's always great fishing on Green Lake.
Yeah.
I'm not a fisherman,
but the deepest lake
in
the state.
Community, you got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a glacier lake, I think, isn't it? Like carved out by the glacier and stuff. Isn't it?
I'll go with that.
Sure. Me too.
All right.
It's the deepest lake. I know that. So I don't that's about it. But I don't I that would make sense, right? That it's a glacier lake.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I missed that day.
Oh.
Anyway,
so come on out, have a great experience. We'd love to have you here, and you know, it's always fun.
Tell me a little bit more about some of those holiday shows that are kicking off that we can get tickets for.
So, you know, we got a wide variety. So the Empty Pockets are coming on in. They're a great blues band out of Chicago, but they do a lot of stuff with some other great performers as well. So they're going to come in and do a show called Missile Tunes. So it's got a, you know, a little bit of mistletoe and mistletoe put together there. And then for those people that like it maybe a little bit chiller, Mr. Sun is coming in. And I don't know if you know, but the Nutcracker is, you know, a great musical piece, you know, for Christmas time, classical piece. But Duke Ellington redid it in a jazz version, and they're going to come in and do the Duke Ellington version of the Nutcracker. So it'll be a different kind of vibe in the Opera House there. And then the Alley Cats, who are, you know, just great doo-wop group from like the 50s and 60s, singing all your favorite Christmas songs, that, you know, and adding stories like The Extra Verse and White Christmas, or, you know, the fun that nobody knows about. They'll add that in there. But they're a lot of fun with it, too. And they do some outreach, you know, which is important for us. We get a chance to go out into the community for people who may not be able to get into our facility, right? Maybe, you know, they have some limitations. So we do as much outreach as possible here as well with our groups. And, you know, that's completely funded by some of our great supporters. And it really means a lot for us to bring music to somewhere else, because not everybody can make it to here.
That's awesome.
That Duke Ellington arrangement in jazz, that, I mean, like I may have told you last time, my kids have been in theater, and you know, of course they did a Nutcracker for, I think I saw that thing, you know, 20 years in a row. But that music is great, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody knows the music, but that, see it in a jazz, I think, okay, well, we'll talk about that. That's great. I mean, that's a very cool, different type of show you're putting on there.
Is the Nutcracker
we're looking
ballet?
Forward to it.
Is that ballet?
Yeah, it's a ballet.
Okay.
They don't talk jazz.
It is a ballet.
Yeah. At all?
What do you mean at all? No. When's the last time you heard someone talking to ballet?
Never.
I don't know. Don't they? I didn't know that. Oh, maybe. No, okay. Never mind. Never. You know what? I'm actually got confused with opera. Well, opera is all singing, right?
Italian, though, but yes.
Okay. I've never been to an opera.
You got to get, with those little screens on there so they tell you what they're doing.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
So I guess we'll have those.
So you're an opera house by the name of it. Do you guys ever have an opera?
So actually, a few months ago, we partnered with a great organization called the Green Lake Festival of Music. And they brought in a night of opera a couple of months back, and it was pretty fantastic, right? Yeah. Super talented people, and yes, we do have some opera every now and
cool.
then.
That's cool. Outstanding.
All right.
Jason.
Website.
Give yourself a plug. How people can find you.
You betcha. www.thrasheroperahouse.com. Find us on the socials at Thrasher Opera House as well. And thanks so much for the time, guys, as always. Come on down to Green Lake. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
Sounds great, Jason. Always a pleasure having you on, buddy.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you. All right, we're going to start a quick break. We're going to talk Sputnik.
This will be cool.
Sputnik.
This is going to be very cool.
Back at us.
On board, I'm the captain. So climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow. On every shore, and I'll try.
Beautiful Wednesday morning. Love that forecast. Little disappointed. Got to be honest with you. We're talking about making some serious money gambling this football season. And I'm surprised I would only make $180 on a $10 bet betting on the Packers to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so just so that you understand. So if it's the favorite.
Right.
Okay, it's how much you need to bet to win $100.
Right.
And if you bet.
Well, 10 to 1, right?
But if you bet $100 with the Packers, you win 180. Was that what we said?
That's what you said, right, Con?
Yes. Okay. Yep. And it was like for the Bears, for example, it was 3,500. That was the odds. You'd win 350.
Give us it's $100 bets.
Do you have all of them there, Con, in front of you? I'm sure Kansas City would have the worst, but who has the
longest shot?
Yeah.
Tampa probably. Well, or maybe the Panthers. Who do you think? Like, there's not a chance in hell they're going to go, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who.
So the Chiefs have a 550.
Right. I mean, that's.
So you wouldn't win much money there.
Right. $50. So, yeah. Right.
Okay.
$55, I should say.
Where are the Packers on the list?
Probably fourth.
Yeah, they're actually around seventh or eighth.
Oh, that low. Okay.
Yep. The Eagles have a better chance than
really?
Us. That's, the Ravens,
you're talking
the Lions.
About going to the winning the Super Bowl?
Yes, winning okay. the Super Bowl.
So winning, not just going.
What's the longest shot? We're going to the 32. Who's 32?
Tennessee, maybe?
No.
No, it's the Panthers.
Oh, it is Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They ain't going anywhere. But I don't know. I might put $10 on them just to
I would.
Just to have some fun.
Yeah. But I want to bet on Thursday night's game. I'll take the 3 points. You get 3 points.
With Kansas City and Baltimore?
No, Green Bay and Philly.
That's Friday.
Or Friday, rather. I'm sorry. Yeah, Friday.
The kickoff is Thursday, right?
Yes.
And that's...
All right.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, we'll figure that out. We'll give a full report to our listeners Friday morning.
Yes.
Because we're going to the casino after the show
And if
tomorrow.
We win, we're going to give it all to charity. Our favorite charity. Absolutely.
Right. The radio show. The radio show.
Panini at the height. Exactly. So I want to do that, though. I want to get into, I mean, it's so big these days. But now, John Miller, who we had on yesterday from NBC 26, yep. You know, you see these NFL yada, yada, yada commercials, and it makes it look so easy. But he says you can't do it from your phone in an NFL city. Is that correct?
Man, I don't know. We're gonna learn a lot tomorrow.
Yeah, we're
so going to sit down with the bookie, and we are going to, and we're also going to get him to be a sponsor, and then he can advertise on our show. And
then if we lose, we don't have to pay. He just won't pay us. Think they'll do that?
No, I don't think Civic Media is going to do that.
I have never been there, though, to the own. Oh, yeah. Maybe the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Is that where we were that time?
Yep.
That room?
Sports book.
Okay. But they didn't have sports book. I mean, they had
not.
The Derby, but I think that was it.
Yeah. No, this can be fun. This,
all right.
This will be fun. The problem is there's a little danger to this, but there's counselors for that. If we get
getting addicted?
Yep. Yeah. Driving out there, then, waking up in the middle of the night and driving out there.
I've got the perfect cure for that. I will just be broke if I lose anything. So if I have no money, it cures my quest.
This is going in a jar. No, I'm not using credit cards.
All right.
I'm just taking a jar. I'm going to put a gambling money. I'll put maybe, I don't know, $1,000 in there in a jar.
Okay.
And that for the whole season.
Put $1,000 in for me, too. I'll pay you back. Trust me. Guaranteed.
But we talked about $10 a game is 106. Maybe I don't have to put in that much money. Okay, anyway, I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
I got to figure it out.
So if you bet $10 with the Panthers, that's plus $25,000.
Okay, so that would be $2,500.
And then, actually, the Patriots are the worst with 30.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't got it.
They don't have a quarterback.
But what you went to, Con, is you just went to the website and you're looking at Vegas odds, right? Like Caesars or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The Oneidas, they kind of set their own odds. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty close. But, their goal is to get as much people betting on.
Both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
And they give the odds and then they get the money in the middle, which
and then
is the juice.
Okay, the juice is when you lose, right?
No, the juice has nothing to do with you.
All right.
It has nothing to do with the winner or the loser. It has to do with the odds so that the bookie can make his money. So if instead of giving you 10-1 odds, he may give you 9-1. So he gets that 1%. And then on the other side, the same thing. That one's 5-1. He might give.
Okay, so if we go there tomorrow.
Don't ask me too many questions, but
I want to put down $20 on the Packer game. Okay.
For the Packers to win.
For the Packers to win.
Okay.
If I give him that $20,
mm-hmm.
okay.
The
then he
win?
Just Packers lose. He just keeps the money.
Yeah, you would never go back.
But
to
if I win,
it, right?
Do they take 10% of your winnings?
I we're gonna ask him.
Okay.
I would say no. That he already has that built into the odds.
Okay.
I don't know that. I want to talk to him or her.
Any gamblers out there that are big sports gamblers?
There's
gambling.
A lot of gamblers listening to us.
We need to talk to you.
I know some of the people listening to us. Yeah.
Do they still have parlay cards?
There's plenty of. Well, that's for the horses, right?
No. Where you'd bet. I remember seeing those. There are a lot of bars in Green Bay that used to have them. You ever have those, Con?
Yep. Those are still available.
Are they still around?
Will you bet them all?
Well, you try to. You'd have to bet minimum of three. You'd have to win.
Oh, that's the parlay.
And
okay,
then I think it was 7-1.
Yeah,
if you got
fun.
Three, if you yeah,
okay,
but that's
right.
Really hard to do. It's really hard to hit.
But the
a
odds
parlay.
Are better. I mean, you can if you
pick
for
$10, you can win 70 and you lose 10 if whatever. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
So does anybody have parlay cards out there?
I don't know if we should be promoting gambling.
Oh my gosh, you can't watch a ball game if that's all they talk about. I mean, we're using small, we're $10 a game or whatever. I don't think that's going to
do anything. My son Johnny is listening to you.
He took all of his paper route money that he was going to use for his school clothes.
That's what I'm saying.
You sons of.
Don't need that. No, that'd be fun. It'd be a little bit,
yeah.
And you and I need to probably learn more than our listeners, but we'll have a little class on betting.
On what we learn tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
That's going to be fun.
I like it. So, right. And I bet there's 90% of our listeners know more than us now. And they're saying to themselves, you guys are.
On everything.
Very on a lot of stuff. Right. Not
but hey, this
but
next guest,
stuff.
Though. Yeah, I don't I'm know. Curious I don't about this. Know if, well, some of our listeners will know, but this whole Sputnik thing, right? This Russian spaceship or whatever you call them that went off in 1962. And then they found a piece of it in Manitowoc. And. You know, Chris, they dedicated that little street area to it. I think it was 2 years later. But that's going to be cool to learn about that. They have a Sputnik Fest. That was their name. Like, we call it ours, Apollo. There's a Sputnik. They have a big festival this weekend. And have they been doing that since 62? I just can't
believe
that. I don't
know.
I
where is the actual piece?
Well, they turned it back to... and they gave it back to the Russians eventually.
They did.
But then they have a replica of it.
Wow.
Or they gave it to NASA. I think they gave it. I don't know how this kid's going to, or this lady, who's ever coming in is going to know. I think it went back to the Russians.
I would have kept it if I was in Manitowoc. I mean, what a great tourist attraction thing.
I don't think you can do that.
Who? According to who?
The Russians.
Well, that.
Well, other than that.
All right. When we come back, we're talking Sputnik Fest.
World War III because of John Minot.
I don't know what I did with it. I buried it with my St. Joseph thing. Yeah, back after this.
Part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. Got a text here. Todd from DePere says, hey, you guys sound really knowledgeable with gambling. I'll be your personal bookie. I'm fair and honest. I will treat you right. Call me.
Yeah, there's okay.
Sarcasm there. Bill, Todd.
Tony. It's Todd. I thought it was Tony.
No, Todd.
Like Tony Dodano.
Yeah, no.
Lenny Pepe, those guys. You know, that's.
Well, Greg, introduce yourself, because Jim and I, another thing we're not really knowledgeable about, even though Jim
most
grew up
things.
Is Sputnik, the whole history behind it and what you guys are doing in Manitowoc to honor it.
Yeah, I got to talk about Sputnik. If you want to have me back on, I'd be happy to talk about handicapping horse racing any kind of degenerate gambling that you want to talk about.
Excellent. Okay, we'll get there.
I'll be your guy. But let's talk about Sputnik.
Right. We'll talk about your name, and tell them what you're the director of.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Who am I?
Yeah, right?
So I'm Greg Vadde. I'm the executive director of the Rahr West Art Museum. We're a City of Manitowoc facility, and we've been around for almost 75 years. Next year, it will be our 75th anniversary. People know us for our art collection, Warhol, Picasso, George O'Keefe. They know the historic mansion that's up on the hill in Manitowoc, like a lot of different, art museums. But then there's one thing that we have that most art museums don't have, and that is the crash site of Sputnik 4. I always talk to our good friends at the Maritime Museum. They talk about shipwrecks.
Sure.
We have a space shipwreck.
Yeah,
right down on North 8th Street in Manitowoc.
It's so bizarre that it landed right outside the museum.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, like a right magnet.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It was like a few feet from being in an exhibit.
Yeah.
That we could just, but the, so what crashed there? That was in 62, right?
So it's 1962. Okay. It's the Sputnik 4.
Sputnik 4, right. And, but the original piece that crashed there, you gave that back to the Russians, right?
I didn't, but somebody. So, like, here's the thing.
Okay, but you have a replica is what I wanted to get to.
We do.
To.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Okay. NASA made us a replica, and it's at the museum. And that'll be, of course, available for people to see. It is at all time. But this weekend, on Saturday, September 7th, we host our annual Sputnik Fest. And I don't want you to think it's a, like a somber memorial because nobody was on the ship.
Well, we have to talk about that.
Oh, we're going to talk about the legend of the lost cosmonaut. We'll get to that.
The cardiologist, right? Isn't he the guy that claimed it?
Yeah.
Okay, but Sputnik Fest is this Saturday.
This Saturday, the 7th.
And it is a party.
It is.
I mean,
it's absolutely.
Tell our listeners,
this is an excuse.
It is a party.
It is an excuse to throw a big block party.
Right.
We are celebrating tomorrow, the 5th, is the official anniversary date of when that hit. So we always do it the Saturday after Labor Day. But it's people in sci-fi costumes. We have costume contests all day. We have a great band from Milwaukee called Exposed Foreheads, which is the prototype for a Sputnik-level party.
Cool.
Think like Devo. You know, a lot of keyboards, synth.
Fun.
Very, like, 1980s synth. And they all get dressed up in, like, their astronaut outfits for the show.
You know, that story is cool. And I think you, when that happened, I don't know, you're younger than we are, but that was a big deal. And then it kind of tapered off, in my perspective, because you had Hugh Downs there. Do you remember who he was?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
My dad was there. And that was a big deal in their national television.
Yeah, and it was always... It was an oddity. Let's be fair. It was something that was like outside the ordinary. And it was, you know, in the grand scheme of like the Cold War, it happened a month before the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right. Really
took off. So it kind of got swallowed up in that.
Okay.
And
was
it
a spy satellite?
Wasn't it a test? It was one of the first tests.
Right.
Well, you go ahead. You seem to have done your research.
I just it was a big deal for a while, and I think I just remember when Hugh Downs, my dad thought that was a big deal.
Oh yeah,
we all had to go out and see that. But that was I don't think it was a spy satellite. I think they were just testing the orbit like we did, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I want you to comment on this because I think this is interesting. Is they said they put a dummy in there to kind of see how's the thing going to work. And, you know, is there room in there? And anyway, and a couple of you guys.
So let me give you, I'll give you a little bit of background. We in
the Batistas, right?
Yeah, exactly. We in the States call it Sputnik 4. In Russia was known as Korabl 1. And the Korabl program is what eventually sent Yuri Gagarin into space as the first man in space. So it did have a compartment for a person.
Alleged.
To give you an idea, it was about the size of a pickup truck. That's what they sent up. That was the capsule size. When it came back down, it was about the size of a hubcap because everything kind of burned off. But yeah, there was a compartment, and there was apparently a dummy, a mannequin that they had put into it. And they also had some communication devices that had recordings that they would be able to test.
That's what it was.
How they could communicate back and forth. And from that, they're built this legend that they're of the lost cosmonaut, that they did put a guy in there.
Because the guys who were listening in heard a heartbeat, and they also heard some breathing, like, I don't know what a mannequin can do. I don't know.
I think they were Italian brothers, if I'm not mistaken.
Totally are. That's these Italians. Leave it up to these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, honorable, like the guy who texted in and said he could be your bookie. You know, I knew a lot of honorable bookies back in New York.
You guys sound really knowledgeable about gambling.
No, I love the Italians.
Yeah,
you guys,
thank you.
Okay, that's
But how could you hear a heartbeat?
What? How did they listen in on that?
They had different like kind of homemade radios, and they were. I don't know whether they were UFO guys in Italy in like the 1960s or what, but they had the radios pointed into the sky, and they were trying to listen in, and they're the ones that reported that they thought that they heard a heartbeat.
But I think they got that confirmed. I mean, I know you. It sounds like you don't believe it at all.
Well, here's the thing. I came to Wisconsin 13 years ago, and they told me the story, and I was like, no way. You gotta be kidding me.
So what happened to the rest of it then, though? Did it?
Yeah, where is it?
I mean, did it explode in space?
A few things.
We ended up with a hubcap? Where's the rest of it?
Yeah, what happened
Who's
to the rest,
on the rest of it?
Now, if you took a pickup truck and you just tossed it from outer space on an uncontrolled descent, most of it would disintegrate. Okay. It would just be nothing. The other thing is that, you know, 8 blocks away from where this landed is Lake Michigan. So you have to figure that larger pieces might have hit in the lake and might have been recovered, and we just never were told that, you know? I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that the government doesn't tell us everything that they're up
right.
to.
But you found some other, like, just particles, right?
Yeah, just little pieces.
Little pieces, but nothing that was
absolutely.
Like
that. How much damage was done when it hit the road?
It just went into the road, so right?
Luckily, it hit at, like, I don't know, 3:45 in the morning, something, okay. an early time when there weren't a lot of people around. And the story is two officers, Bulk and Rustbolt, are driving around, and they see something smoking in the street. And they're like, well, that's weird. But, you know, Manitowoc's a manufacturing town.
Yeah.
So they just imagine, maybe it's a piece of aluminum from one of the factories. It's still smoking. So that's odd. And it's crazy because it landed and made a hole. And then, like, three hot parts of it, the metal, shot out. So it actually looks like that original Sputnik 1 in the street.
Wow.
It had, like, these little streaks that came off of it. They just shoved it over to the curb and went back to the precinct.
Really?
They continued their routes. And they got back to the precinct, and on the radio, this is 1962, they hear that the U.S. Army and the FBI are in Sheboygan, and they're looking around because they're trying to find pieces of the spacecraft that crashed. Now, the Air Force knew
Larry,
it was going to happen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's a cool story.
And that's the thing. That was exactly. Larry, you think maybe that was. And they're like, we should probably go back here
right.
and check
wow.
this out. So that was the piece. And the guys from the FBI and the NASA came, and they took a look at it. And it was only in Manitowoc for a few hours. Yeah. And then they whisked it away to a lab in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And they tested it, and they're like, this is definitely what we think it is. And the Russians said, we have no idea what you're talking about.
But they,
so that could have killed somebody.
Definitely big enough to kill somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool, and that's neat that you, you know, when you learn in mayor school, to have something special in your community, but have something that outreaches to the rest of the community. Like, we would probably have
it's
the
huge.
Packers. But this thing's a big deal, but it's not as big a deal as I think it should be.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that's one of the reasons why my predecessor started Sputnik Fest. Was like, hey, this is an amazing story. Most people are like me when they find out, and they go, no, there's no way that actually happened. I would have heard about that. The story is that it was on an episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sometime in the aughts, like 2005, 2006. And it was a question, like it, because it was a trivia question.
And was Manitowoc the answer?
Manitowoc was the answer.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the person got right. So I don't know how that person did their research, but man,
there's some nerdy
brain.
People on there, but wow.
So my predecessor was like, we got to do something big. So what we do is just a gigantic block party.
Right.
To celebrate, to have some fun, to raise money for the museum. Because, like you had said, a city, it's such a gift to have something like that that's a tourist
awesome.
Attraction. For a museum like ours, very small museum,
yeah.
Wonderful art collection. People think of us as an art museum,
yeah.
right? This. Yeah. There's certain people who want to go to an art museum, and there are a lot of people who are like, "Yeah, that's not for me." But Sputnik, maybe I'm going to show up at that art museum.
Well, I think that's cool. There's a launch coming up this Friday. You know, Musk is sending some people
that's
up
right.
there again, and I think that's coming back. And you know, we've never fell in love with the Russians. We always kind of like think they're a little bit secretive. So there's a lot of education and fun stories to that. Plus, you got to throw in the Italians for the lead for
hey.
That.
Yeah, actually. We welcome all comers, right?
Was it a mannequin or was it a real person? I think that's, you know, you got to have that sizzle with these stories.
And that's the beautiful thing. We can go in so many different directions with the Sputnik story. You know, yeah. you got the people who are like total space nerds who
right?
just want to know about the technology of it. You've got people who are Cold War enthusiasts because the whole thing happened, like I said, right around the Cuban Missile Crisis. And then you've got all the sci-fi people, like anybody who likes cosplay and likes to dress up, and we got them, man. We have like thousands of people there that are dressed up.
I helped out in the auction the night of that Heart-O-Rama in Two Rivers.
Yep.
And that was the theme. Sputnik and everything was the theme. And those people, you want to talk about come out in full regalia of space
awesome.
People and everything. Yeah. Jim saw some of the pictures I took with the cast.
Exactly.
They were, I'm sure these people are going to go crazy over this event.
They sure do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and for us, again, as an art museum.
And it filled that auditorium.
Oh, yeah.
It filled, yeah. I mean, standing room only.
Yeah.
Well, so many people love sci-fi. I mean, you
right.
can go back into the 60s. from this time period. You got your Trekkies and, you know, everybody who like grew up with ray guns and flying saucers, and then move into the next generation with Star Wars. And now it's so expansive and you get into Marvel and all the.
But you mentioned Blackbird. Is the thing right at your facility?
It is. It's right. We closed down. Okay. Yeah. It's on the corner of 8th and Park Street.
Right. Okay.
Just north of downtown Manitowoc. It'll be closed off. We kick things off at noon with a 5K art run and walk sponsored by Freaky Printing. And that runs down to our downtown area over by where the SS Badger launches. And it allows for people to see a bunch of the murals that are downtown. So it's got a very art theme. We've got our art space, which is for kids, which has a bunch of games and art activities going on. And then, you know, like I said, we've got Exposed Foreheads playing all day. It's a great event. We also do this trivia, we do a raffle at the end of the thing. Instead of like ping pong balls in a cage, each person gets a numbered alien. At the end of the day, the aliens go in a bucket. The bucket goes up on a fire truck and gets dropped right on the ring where Sputnik hit. Whichever one lands in that ring, it's our bullseye, is the raffle winner. It's much better than ping pong balls. I guarantee
it. I love it.
Sounds like something right up your alley.
Those things are cool. And then, you know, I don't know who's still living from Star Trek. You should get one of those guys come and be your speaker one year. And just, there's just a lot of cool stuff you can do with that. And the people who enjoy listening to that, you get a real astronaut, too. I mean, we've had a couple real astronauts here in Green Bay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And I'll say this. One thing I want to make sure, everything that goes on at Sputnik Fest, every dollar we bring in supports our programming all year long. And some of it is that kind of space-related programming. Yeah. We're so thankful for our sponsors. Community First is our lead sponsor this year.
Awesome.
It's been awesome.
Is the RAR family the same ones from the beer company?
You got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That you guys go on, and Manitowoc, I think, you know, Justin, your mayor, was here last week, but you've got it going on around that whole area. You talked about it, but that waterfront is
There's so much energy right now with music, with great visual arts and performing arts.
You just got to try to get Paul from Petskill a little more animated.
I know. He's such a quiet, reserved guy. It's like, come on, man. It's not just beer.
Open up.
Exactly. Greg, thanks very much. Sounds like fun times coming up in Manitowoc.
Yeah. Great to talk with you guys.
All right.
Great
we'll promote this again. But yeah, it's this Saturday in Manitowoc.
Starts at noon.
I thought it was early.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Family event.
Awesome. Yes. Sputnik Fest.
Thanks, buddy.
Very cool
story.
We'll
be back after this. Boy, did you just make a friend?
I did.
Did you just make a friend?
Did you just make a friend?
Because he talked about, you asked, you know, the question, hey, what else, if you ever have anything else coming up? And he said something, and you just like,
the art of table setting is going to be at the museum.
Con, why are you laughing?
Why are you laughing about it? That's very serious. The art of table setting.
If I've ever seen him so excited.
The guy goes into the linens, you know, kind of china, you know, and, you know, when you're going to have
placement things.
Well, right. I mean, everybody knows how to place this stuff, but probably if there's a whole, you know, a huge set where you go out to, you know, 3-4 forks, and that will be fun. That will be fun.
I'd love to join you, but man, I'm busy that day. Son of a gun. I would so love. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you got a formal setting and you got your two forks, which one is the salad fork? The one on the outside or the one on the inside?
I'll eat from the outside.
That one's the salad fork. Right. Always the one on the outside. All right.
Then soup spoon is next.
I always get that wrong. And then sometimes you'll have a real small fork. And what is that for?
Yeah, if you have like an appetizer for like the shrimp or something that you put above the plate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So, yes, that will be fun. I think you should go to that, John.
The art of table setting. Yeah. I think I will. I think.
I'll drive.
I didn't know there were that many people that would be into something like that.
I have to get my tickets now.
Wow.
I don't know. Okay. I think that's cool. And you know, I love entertaining. So
have
I
you ever done this? I'm going to tell you something I did in a restaurant recently. Actually, it was in Manitowoc. Okay. And I looked to make sure nobody was looking. It's something that everybody has probably done at home, but probably wouldn't do it in a restaurant.
Okay. Blow your nose in the napkin?
No.
That's gross when people do that.
I hate that. I finished my soup by lifting up the bowl.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. That's totally Nagani. Okay.
But you know how you just can't get that last part?
Yes, you can.
You can't really.
Pour it. And you could probably lift your bowl. I should probably stay on the table, but.
So I looked around to make sure nobody was looking, and
I'm sure nobody saw that.
I drank it out of the bowl. Look, the last part. Have you ever done that in a restaurant?
Never.
I bet people have. Quick poll: have you ever drank out of your bowl at a restaurant?
Okay, not okay.
Because you know what you do it. Everybody does it at home.
You should define a restaurant, though.
Okay,
it
was a restaurant.
But okay,
have you ever done that? Drank out of your bowl to finish off the soup at a restaurant? Yes or no?
Open 24 hours a day. That's different.
Well, I'm just saying I did.
Wow, you were alone?
No.
Oh, who let you do that?
I didn't say she let me do it. I didn't say she went along with it.
This is going to be fun. I think these museums, that's just something to do. You know,
I haven't been there. I'd like to stop in. I got to see that museum.
It's been a long
time. The Maritime Museum, by the way, is outstanding.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
But they have, you know, that guy isn't your typical. He's got pretty good energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the guy at the Maritime Museum, I know him because he used to work here. In Green Bay, but yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Convoy,
yeah.
You ever drink soup out of a bowl in a restaurant? Yes or no?
No,
just
I don't.
Finish off that last couple little spoonfuls.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think I've ever done that.
No,
all right. Most,
it's don't even waste the money on the poll. Yeah, just
waste the money. We just need to know. Yes, just give us a yes or no. Have you ever done that? That's what we want to know. And then, I'm serious about going to Oneida tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
I really want to do that.
Yeah, I really
want to do that. And Convoy, what have we got as a major prize? Do we have any tickets to Frank's new show?
I'm not sure.
All right, because we got to do a Packer pick'em on Friday. We got to do that for a score type thing, or we'll either like Jordan.
What if people win? What if everybody wins?
Somebody will win.
Well, I know. What if you get 10 people that win?
No. It'll be whoever. Okay, it'll be Jordan Love passing yards. Okay.
Okay, that people could pick the same.
The first one when you send in your pick, if there's a tie, it's the first person that came in with that.
Is that what we're doing? Or are you just saying that?
No, we're gonna do that for Friday.
Not everybody's gonna be texting at the same time because you already gave the okay. Well, whatever, that's fine. So the person who gets Jordan, okay, that makes
yes.
sense.
Yes, without going over, because it's almost like the old Price is Right. You can't go because I've heard somebody say 10 million, and then somebody say 10 million and one. So where they would have the highest one, so you can't. So it's without going.
They're not gonna know what other people have. I don't think that's. I think if you're close, you're close. Whether you're over or under, I don't think. I never liked that.
What? No. It's got
a guy best. If somebody guesses whatever,
but that's
200
yards, right?
And somebody guesses 210, and somebody guesses 180. I think the guy guesses 210 should win because he's closer than the guy that guessed 180.
No, that's not how we're doing it. We're doing it with because that's how they did it on The Price is
Right.
This
is not Price is Right.
The Price is Right was one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Okay, Janice
Pennington was my first girlfriend.
Okay, the other thing with The Price is Right is you're right next to the other three people so that you can listen. And then it's like they would go a dollar over, which is always kind of like weird. No, this I think we should. Okay, Con, we're going to let you make a decision today.
Okay.
Okay, Con, do you understand what we're talking about?
You better go my way, Con.
God, do you understand what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so
how did you do it?
Jordan Love throws 200 yards.
Yeah.
Somebody bet 210, somebody bet 180. Pick one, 210. Who wins?
210.
Right.
No, because it can't go over.
Why?
Because.
Okay, that's a great answer, Dan.
There's a reason I can't think of it.
Because I said.
So it's over or under. You got to pick which one you're choosing. Like, if you want him to go over, you got to pick over. If you want to go under, you have to go under the 200.
No. Yeah, we're not picking over under. We're picking the actual yards Love is throwing Friday.
Closest to.
Whether you're over or under. He says without going over. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
So somebody guesses 1 yard over and somebody else is 40 yards off. The person that's 40 yards off wins?
Yeah. Let's put it this way then. No. Okay, so he throws for 200 yards.
Yeah.
Who wins? The guy that put in 190 or the guy that put in 210?
I think it's a tie.
Well, we don't want ties.
You have to go to the tiebreaker.
We don't have ties.
The tiebreaker is going to be how many times does he get sacked?
We got this. Todd would have answered differently. Todd's the game show king. Got this one from Vicky. The art of table setting. Of course, Jim is excited. Linens are involved.
You're right, Vicky. Vicky, we'll go together for that if you're excited about it. I'm going. All right. Hey, tomorrow we have a show. Who's coming on tomorrow?
A lot of people.
Then after the show, we're going to the casino, yeah. And then we'll give a full report on that on Friday.
I'm excited about that.
Anyway, yeah. All right. We got a big show tomorrow.
All right. We're going to make some money. We're going to make some money this
All right,
year.
Cool.
All right. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. Mine and the Mayor. See ya.